You're listening to a special Lake Effect, Project Milwaukee State of Upheaval. I'm Bonnie North. As we looked at winners and losers of the past year, we found that some issues landed in one column or the other depending on where you lie on the political spectrum, except for one. No one, conservative, liberal, or otherwise, can deny that political participation was a major winner in 2011. Thousands protested for and against Governor Scott Walker's policies. Recall drives garnered signatures against Republican and Democratic state senators alike, and blogs from every political bent around the internet went wild. We wondered, however, if the increase in political activism came at a cost to civility, a potential loser, perhaps. We'll explore civility on the show tomorrow. But today, we'll talk with the leaders of two state organizations which galvanized like-minded people on each side of the political coin. We'll talk with Matt Seaholm, the state director of the conservative advocacy group Americans for Prosperity Wisconsin, in just a few minutes. But right now, we'll chat with Scott Ross, the executive director of the progressive advocacy group One Wisconsin Now. Ross tells Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce that, indeed, his group's members are energized.
I think that the unprecedented attacks by Governor Walker on our way of life here in Wisconsin and dividing the people of Wisconsin and tearing them apart resulted in an unprecedented new level of enthusiasm, community organizing, and really standing up for the values that are what make Wisconsin great. And so when you talk about a winner, political participation and participation in the community is absolutely a winner.
Some people question, though, just how genuinely homegrown this movement against Governor Walker, against his stripping of collective bargaining rights, actually is. How do you respond to claims that this recall election is being entirely supported by super PACs and outside money?
You know, when you are unable to defend your actions, which is where Governor Walker and his corporate allies are at, you have to attack the people, I guess, who are standing up and fighting against you. You know, and I think the thing that really upsets people more than anything else is that we are a state that's kind of middle of the road. You know, we've got some liberals, we've got some conservatives, we got a whole lot of people who are right sort of dead set in the middle. And they think that, you know, what you do is when you've got challenges, you bring people together, you talk them out. Some people get what they want. Other people get what they want. But there's a balance to it. And I think that's what's really going on here. Scott Walker has upset the balance that the people of Wisconsin have been able to rely on, whether there are Democrats in office, whether there are Republicans in office, whether there's a mix of people calling the shots. And the point is that we didn't have to go down this road. You know, we could have brought people together again, as Democratic governors and Republican governors have done when it comes to negotiating collective bargaining situations. And if I could just a couple things that I think have to be pointed out of just how radically changed things are as a result of Governor Walker's policies. We just had the biggest cut to public education in the history of the state. $1.6 billion was taken away from our public schools. We just are seeing 65,000 people, including 29,000 children, who are going to lose their health care as a result of the choices that Governor Walker made. And we're seeing seniors and working people who are going to get a $70 million tax hike because of what Governor Walker did to the earned income tax credit and the homestead property tax exemption. I mean, these are things that are going to hit the people of Wisconsin so hard and are going to so compromise the future of this state. And he didn't have to go down this road. We weren't broke. We were never in a situation where we had to make, you know, these kinds of drastic choices.
We did have a structural deficit, though, that repeatedly had not been addressed by governors of the past.
Well, I would say this. We had a $6 billion structural deficit in 2009, and we actually added people to health care, protected public education, and did it without raising income taxes or sales taxes on 99% of the people in the state of Wisconsin. What we did do is make some common sense choices back in 2009. And one of those choices was to ask the top 1% to have the first income tax hike in the state of Wisconsin in over 40 years. And closing the Las Vegas loophole so banksters can't hide their assets in a place like Nevada that doesn't have a corporate income tax. You know, the 2009 budget was about staving off disaster. And they did it without dismantling the state of Wisconsin and certainly not ripping Wisconsin apart. He is the one who chose to give $2.3 billion in new tax breaks to corporations and to the wealthy. And he is the one who is responsible for those choices. And it is people all across Wisconsin at the grassroots level who are rising up against him. And they should be very proud of what they're doing.
Tell me about the membership of One Wisconsin Now. And again, I want you to respond to that claim that all of the recall movement, the protests in Madison earlier this year, that those were funded by outside money.
It was absolutely homegrown, it was absolutely home-driven, and it will absolutely be a homegrown victory when we restore fairness, decency, and common sense to public policy here in the state of Wisconsin. And it is hard to respond to an allegation that is so provably false. You know, and I look at our organization, One Wisconsin Now. We started out the year, we had about 20,000 online supporters, and we now have 52,000 online supporters. And there are people all across Wisconsin who are saying that they have had enough. They want progressive public policy. They want fair public policy. I find it ironic that Governor Walker and his corporate cronies who funded the corporate Tea Party movement out of the big oil money of the Koch Foundation are saying that somehow what's going on in Wisconsin with communities all across and people all in communities all across Wisconsin rising up against these pro-corporate policies that Governor Walker has foisted upon us, that they're the ones who are complaining about outside influences. You've got the Americans for Prosperity and the Bradley Foundation funding, you know, several $1 million in television ads to support Governor Walker, making the case that the laughable case that, quote unquote, it's working. Well, listen, you only need to be one of those 9,700 people who lost their jobs last month to know that it is, in fact, not working. And I think that's what's part of what's so alarming is that Governor Walker, with the consent of the lapdog Republican legislature, got literally everything he wanted. And there's not something he didn't want that he didn't get. I mean, he even got things, of course, that don't create any jobs, which, you know, such as repealing the Healthy Youth Act, which provides age-appropriate sex education to our children so they can be protected. Oh, yeah, and, you know, dismantling voter rights here in the state of Wisconsin and passing the nation's most restrictive voter suppression bill. So, again, they got everything they wanted. And what has happened? Our unemployment rate is nearly 0.5% higher than when Governor Walker came into office. We lost 9,700 jobs last month, the most in the nation. And we've lost 30,000 jobs since he passed his budget bill. So it's not working. It's a total failure. And to boot, we tore Wisconsin apart in order to get to this point because Governor Walker wouldn't sit down with people and try and come up with some common sense solutions. He just decided to support the people who got him into office.
Well, Scott Ross, thank you so much for speaking with us today on behalf of One Wisconsin Now.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
Scott Ross is the executive director of the Madison-based progressive advocacy group One Wisconsin Now. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce. Matt Seaholm is the state director for Americans for Prosperity, Wisconsin. They're a conservative advocacy group associated with the Tea Party movement that stresses fiscal responsibility and limited government. Seaholm tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce that progressives weren't the only ones inspired to action by the events of the past year.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that 2011 had record political participation in Wisconsin. I think it's really been remarkable how we've become the center of the political universe, really, at least for this country. You know, we've been trendsetters in some ways that are good and some ways not so good, but there's no doubt political participation has been through the roof.
Now, one of the things we've identified as perhaps a loser or a casualty of this past year is civility in public discourse. Do you feel like you've contributed at all maybe to that change in civility, or would you say it's maybe the other side that has?
Well, I think I think everything we've done that you look at our group and what we've tried to do, I don't think anything we've said or done is unreasonable for, you know, in 2011, in, especially with regards to the budgetary changes that happened in Madison. I think, you know, it was really remarkable to see the outcry that happened back in February throughout the spring. And I think you can certainly argue about, the process of which the changes were made. But what we're trying to do now is look back at what happened and try to educate people on it. And, you know, that's part of our It's Working initiative that we're pushing right now, you know, just trying to educate people on what those changes were. So if you look at what we're talking about, it's nothing but the facts. I mean, everything is sourced. If you go to the website, you know, if you watch the video, everything is completely factual. And we're trying to actually raise above the level of discourse that we've seen in 2011 because we feel it's important.
Tell me a little bit more about the It's Working campaign. Why does AFP Wisconsin feel that Governor Walker's policy changes that he put into place this year that caused such a controversy are the right steps for Wisconsin?
Well, I don't think you can really argue with the facts. You know, any debate that has happened really, you know, just comes down to, I think, more emotion than anything else. Because if you look at what the budgetary reforms were, there is no doubt that it's working where they're being implemented. I mean, certainly there are some school districts and municipalities that aren't implementing them or can't because of continuing contracts. But, you know, he said he was going to balance a budget. Our group is focused on limited government, free market principles, but talking about, you know, reducing spending at a state level and helping to get local government spending under control as well, we really did change the way government's able to function. One of the biggest restrictions that especially local governments had is their inability to deal with employment costs. The changes to collective bargaining have allowed those reforms have allowed for changes to be made and reductions in spending to happen. So it's not just about cutting, it's about reforming the way government works. And that's why, you know, we're so supportive of what has happened because, again, facts don't lie, it's working.
Well, some people would question that there was such a fiscal crisis that it required an extreme move to go after collective bargaining, that public employees were willing to make concessions, and that Governor Walker went too far. And again, I'm quoting from other people we've interviewed in terms of a stripping collective bargaining rights. You don't agree?
That he went too far? I think it was necessary. If you look at, you know, the track record that many unions in Wisconsin have, there's no doubt that there's been a stark contrast between the interests of the taxpayers and the interests of the public employee unions. When that comes to a head, which I think we've kind of gotten to because, you know, we had a budget that was out of whack. It needed to get balanced. And if you didn't address the collective bargaining abuses that had happened, and it's not really, you know, everything that a collective bargaining stands for or what it's about, it comes back to the abuses that have really developed over a lot of years. Some of the sick leave scams that we saw, some of the overtime abuses that happened, those are the things that needed to get reined in. And without collective bargaining restrictions and the privileges, they wouldn't have happened. And that's what reforming government's all about.
Governor Walker himself admitted to Representative Dennis Kucinich when questioned that the collective bargaining aspect of his budget reform bill really had nothing to do with balancing the state's budget.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any local official that would agree with you that collective bargaining doesn't have any sort of a fiscal impact. On a state level, if you ask the Legislative Fiscal Bureau to analyze whether or not those changes have a fiscal impact, not directly, but because of the way contracts are negotiated, it certainly does. And especially on a local level, maybe not so much on a state level, but on a local level, when the employment costs make up almost half of the costs that a school district or a municipality has, they have to address that as part of any budgetary cuts that they have. If they don't have that flexibility, they don't have anywhere else to go unless they want to raise property taxes, which nobody wants to do that, especially in an economy like this. The last thing you want to do is raise taxes. What he did ultimately comes back to the economy. If you get your books in order, it's going to send a message to businesses that it's okay. Future tax increases aren't going to happen here in Wisconsin because we've got our budget balanced.
So why do you think that this happened here in Wisconsin? Why do you think Wisconsin became the ground zero for a public debate on the role of unions, the role of small governments? Why here?
It's a great question. I think it really comes down to the way it was proposed was kind of a shock to some. And because of that shock, you certainly had the immediate reaction that we saw, although I don't think anybody expected the reaction, you know, that really came. But if you ask Governor Walker, one of the things that he would have done differently, he says, you know, I should have spent more time educating people of why this was necessary. And now we find ourselves, you know, 8, 9, 10 months later talking about how it's working, educating people about why it was necessary and how it's working. It's an after-the-fact discussion that really should have happened at the time, and it's unfortunate that it didn't. That doesn't take away from the necessity of the policy, but simply the process in which it was passed.
Well, Matt Seaholm, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Matt Seeholm is the state director for Americans for Prosperity, Wisconsin. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce as part of our Project Milwaukee State of Upheaval series while he was in Milwaukee. You can find more of their conversation as supplemental audio at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take one more break and then how organized labor came out of this historic political year. Project Milwaukee continues on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.